I would say from all of these warrants, this one is the most important one. Khan explained that they found new evidence for the involvement of Saif al-Islam in war crimes during the revolution. Quite interesting, Khan previously served as the defense lawyer for Saif at the ICC, but he stopped doing so when he became the lead attorney general. Upholding this warrant has a huge political impact in Libya, especially as the number of Saif supporters is increasing by the day. Saif intends to run for presidency at the next presidential elections, if they ever happen. But it is doubtful that he will be allowed to do so. If the arrest warrant would be lifted, this would have been a strong boost for him. But now it's probably different. Saif was detained by the Sintanis in the south of Libya on the way to Niger in October 2011 and subsequently held captured in Sintan, used as a bargain chip for increasing the influence of the Sintanis in Tripoli, which worked until 2014, the outbreak of the civil war. He was sentenced to death by a court in Tripoli in 2015 in absentia, but later on the case was referred back to the court of first instance for further review and retrial. In June 2017, he was freed by the Sintanis. And he spent most of the time thereafter in Sintan. He is a very polarizing figure, strongly rejected by the Misrata and many other cities in Tripolitania. Most of the former revolutionary fighters and the Islamists consider him still as their most important enemy. So if Saif is allowed to run for presidency and makes it into the runoff, this might very well lead to a new outbreak of violence in Libya.
Khan indicated in his briefing that he is in constant contact with eastern Libya and explained that his team continues to work on collecting evidence about the crimes committed during the period between 2014 and 2020, including extrajudicial killings, kidnapping, sexual violence, airstrikes, use of mines, and enforced disappearance. How could that impact General Haftar's forces, who began their military campaign toward Tripoli during that period?
Of course, I expect a thorough investigation into what happened during the Battle of Tripoli 2019-2020, including also, in addition, the shelling of civilian residential areas by artillery of the Libyan National Army. But this battle unfolded under the watchful eyes of the world, including many media, and is very well documented. Probably more significant would be that the ICC has in-depth investigations into the battles of Benghazi 2014 to 2017 and Derna 2018 to 2019, that were fought pretty much away from public attention. Especially the battle for Benghazi was a particular bloody fight between the Benghazi Revolutionary Shura Council and Haftar's Libyan National Army. The BRC included infamous terrorist groups like the Ansar al-Sharia and was supported by ISIS. The LNA suffered altogether about 5,000 killed. Civilians were often crossed and at times intentionally targeted by both sides. The BRC took only rarely prisoners, and if they did, most of them were tortured to death. One can imagine how LNA fighters reacted when they found the mutilated bodies of their comrades. So I would say lots of work to be done by the ICC also in the East, but this might help the reconciliation process in Libya in the long run.
The U.S. Special Envoy to Libya, Ambassador Richard Norland, visited the city of Sabha, during which he met with a number of Libyan military officials and said that the meeting was to affirm U.S. shared commitment to supporting efforts made throughout the country to achieve long-term stability and prosperity. What do you make of that?
That's a very significant visit. The 2022 U.S. Strategy to Prevent Conflict and Promote Stability has identified 5 partner countries and regions, and Libya is one of them. The strategy is a joint effort by the U.S. government and partners in the region to address root causes of instability and build a durable, inclusive peace. The 10-year plan for Libya focuses on southern Libya, on Fezzan, and keeping the impact of the difficult situation in Fezzan on the whole region in mind. A focus on Fezzan certainly makes sense, and Norland's visit was the very first visit of a U.S. special envoy to SEPA and must be mainly seen in context with this strategy.